Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just praise you that we have grace and that your grace is unlimited and that we're in your kingdom and that we have the blood covering of Christ. I just pray, Lord, that as we go to your word this morning, that you would speak to us, that you'd continue to change us, that we'd continue to relinquish our life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. And as we continue to study through our passage of Hebrews 13, we've already studied verse 10. Our focal passage is actually 15, but I want us to read 10 through 15 because it makes sense and it's in context. And so Hebrews 13, as we start off in the 10th verse, it says this: "We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." And the reason I wanted to read those verses together is if when you look at verse 10, which we've already studied, the writer says, "We have an altar." We have an altar. And if you remember, that altar that we have is Jesus Christ. Our altar is Jesus Christ. The Old Testament system had a sacrificial system, and the Old Testament system was built upon sacrifice. Twice a day, every single day, they sacrificed a lamb, one in the morning, one in the evening. And then through special events, they had additional sacrifices. You and I have in the New Testament a sacrificial system, but that sacrificial system is Jesus Christ. He is our altar. It's our faith is built upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ is our altar. And as the writer states that in verse 10, he then says in verse 15, he said, "Therefore," and as I've mentioned before, any time in the Bible you get that word, "therefore," it's a joining word. We have an altar, "therefore." Therefore, by Him, by Jesus Christ, since He is our altar, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. This makes sense to us because, after all, in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Christ is our altar to God. He's how we have access to the Father. Old Testament, New Testament was always about access to God. It was always about a relationship. And in the Old Testament, you can see this allegorically with the Hebrews in the Red Sea crossing. Think about it this way. The Hebrews were in bondage. They were in the bondage of slavery. They were slaves. And God redeemed them, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they were freed. And just as you and I are in spiritual bondage before Jesus Christ, and He redeems us, and He frees us, and as the Hebrews pass through the Red Sea, you and I pass through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are free. We've been redeemed. And so you can see the allegorical comparison there in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And if you look at Exodus 14, as it documents the Red Sea crossing, Exodus 14, verse 30, it says, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." So they were redeemed, they were freed. And then what happened after the Israelites were freed, when they were on the shore away from the Egyptian people, their slave masters? It tells us in Exodus 15, they broke out in song. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him.'" Pink makes this comment in his commentary in Hebrews. He said, "The Old Testament was designed to celebrate the relationship that the Lord had provided." They were freed from bondage, and then as they were on the other side, they broke out in song. And the New Testament is a superior system, and as we have a relationship with the Lord, we are to break out in song and praise. And that's what leads us to our focal verse this morning, verse 15. "Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." So we're offering a sacrifice. So as you think about this and as we look at verse 15, we are offering a sacrifice to God. So if we're offering a sacrifice to God through our lips, the important question is what should our sacrifice be like? And that's a very, very important question, because if you remember back in Genesis, Cain had an inappropriate and unacceptable sacrifice, didn't he? It was rejected by God. And I think none of us want to offer a sacrifice that would not be accepted. And the reason why Cain's sacrifice wasn't accepted, it was because his heart wasn't right. Some people say, well, it's because Cain was a farmer and he didn't offer up an appropriate sacrifice. No, it was his heart. He didn't follow the instructions of the Lord. God knew his heart, and He wouldn't accept the sacrifice. So for us as believers, what's an appropriate sacrifice? That's what we're really asking this morning. Psalm 51:17 says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken in a contrite heart. These, O God, You will not despise." So, as we offer a sacrifice to the Lord, as we approach the altar, we are to examine our heart. And as we examine our heart in the light of the holiness of God, we realize that we desperately need Jesus Christ. That there's no way that you and I can stand before God in our own merits, in our own form of righteousness. After all, the Bible says in Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. We can't give a defense. In fact, the Bible says that God will stop every mouth. We can't say, this is why you should accept me other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we come to God, we come to God with a contrite heart. I think we're missing that today in modern worship, where we come and we reflect, and that's one reason when we start off worship here on Sunday mornings that we start off with individual prayer collectively. Because we need a time as we come together collectively as a body of believers that we examine our heart. The Bible tells us to do that before we observe the table, that we should examine ourselves. And we need time, quiet time, where we come and we look at our life. And every time I look at my life apart from Jesus Christ, I find myself lacking. Every one of us should find ourselves lacking in need of Jesus. So an appropriate sacrifice starts with a contrite heart. But that's just not enough. Being sorry isn't enough. You and I could go down to the county jail this morning and we could find people in the county jail that are sorry, right? They may be sorry they got caught. They may be sorry that they committed the crime. But how many times do we see people that as soon as they get out of jail, they end up committing the same crime? Because worldly sorrow doesn't produce anything, because that's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation." Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So, as we come to God with a contrite heart, the other thing that we must rest on is the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not just right for me to come and say, "I'm sorry for my sin." It has to be that we come together with not only the contrite heart, but the realization that Jesus Christ satisfies the demands of God the Father, that we find that as sufficient. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Once. Jesus died once and for all. When we were on vacation, we went through numerous grand cathedrals in Spain. And on the Catholic cross, there's always Jesus Christ hanging from the cross. And the reason why is as they celebrate Mass, they believe that Jesus dies over and over and over again. That the priest calls down Christ to give His life again. But that's not what the Bible says. He died once and for all. Once. And that once was enough. It was enough for me and it was enough for you. And as we come to worship Him, as we approach His altar, we approach Him not only with a contrite heart, but also realizing that Jesus Christ satisfies the wrath that was meant for you and for me. And because of that, as we recognize that we find satisfaction through Christ, that He is sufficient for us, then we take on an attitude of praise. We praise Him because He's everything. He's everything for you and me. This is what Paul said in Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 28. He said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." In Him, in Christ Jesus, we live, we move, and have our being. In other words, He's everything. Christ is everything. And because He is our everything, we should offer ourselves to Him. Is He your everything this morning? Christ can't be your everything if you just look at your faith as something that you do on Sunday morning. If you just look at your Christianity in the context of 1 hour, 7 days a week, Christ isn't your everything. If He isn't reordering your thoughts during the week, if He isn't determining your priorities during the week, if He isn't how you view the world during the week, He's not your everything. And as believers, Christ is to be our everything. As we approach the altar, we recognize that Christ is sufficient in all things for us as believers. Because in Him we live. After all, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and what? I am the life. He didn't say, I am the life after death. He didn't say that. He said, I am the life. In other words, He is our life right now. He should be our everything. And because He is our everything, we give our life to Him. Now you may say, well, preacher, your vocal verse just says it's from our lips. We're going to approach this a little bit differently. I'm going to make the argument that He has to have all of you. And when He has all of you, then out of your mouth comes the fruit of praise. And I'm going to make an argument for that. And it's going to be a biblical argument because, first of all, in Romans 12:1, Paul wrote the church of Rome and he said this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in other words, your redemption, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Too often, people look as lay folks at their Christian life of, well, I'm a casual Christian, and yeah, there's people over here, they get called to be missionaries in Africa or go to some distant land and serve or do radical things, and that's kind of a different level, and God may ask them to do radical things, but for me, God's just happy with me sitting in a pew. It's not the Scripture. See, we're to give our life. It didn't just say some folks. In Romans 12:1, it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, we should consecrate ourselves to the Lord. That's all of Christianity. That we give our life to the Lord. That we look at our life in the context of being a servant of God. So as we approach the altar, we give up ourselves. Paul said that this is what the churches of Macedonia did in 2 Corinthians 8. He said they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. They gave themselves to the Lord. It's important for us to ask that question, am I living sacrificially for God? Paul summed it up best when he said, I die daily. Because we do have to die daily, don't we? We're in a battle, aren't we? And since I am in a battle, and since you are in a battle, it's appropriate for us to recognize that we have to die daily in order for us to give an appropriate sacrifice to God. Because our verse does say, let us continually, it doesn't say just once, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. I die daily. I sacrifice daily. It would be such a shame to live a Christian life based upon one or two mountaintop experiences. But sometimes you encounter Christians that they'll say, recall an event 10 or 15 years ago. Boy, that was such a special time. And we all do have special times. I recognize that. But they haven't had anything since then. And my argument is, and unless we die daily, unless we submit our bodies to Him on a daily basis, we're not going to encounter God on a regular basis. We have to be in the game every day. We have to have Him at our forefront every single day. And the reason why I say that you first have to give of yourself, when you give of yourself, you have an appropriate praise. It says, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Well, it's an appropriate sacrifice when you live your life according to God. We have plenty of examples of people who gave lip service to God but really didn't care about God at all. And in fact, Isaiah 29, verse 13 says this, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. They said they loved God. They gave a verbal praise of God, but God knew their heart. And in fact, Christ used this very verse to condemn the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, starting in verse 7, he first started out with this word, hypocrites. Hypocrites. We know what that means. A hypocrite is somebody that says one thing and does something else. And in fact, if you go and ask a lot of people that don't come to church, and you ask them, why aren't you coming to church? Some people say, well, I don't come to church because the church is full of what? Hypocrites. People that say something and do something entirely different. And Jesus looked at the Pharisees and the scribes and He said, hypocrites. He then goes on and said, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, in vain they worship me. Their sacrifice was not appropriate. Their sacrifice was not appropriate. It was all in vain. Why was it in vain? Because their heart wasn't right. Our head should match our heart, right? We say that we believe in God. We say that God is the answer for the lost world, but you can not have a passion in your life about the Lord because your heart's not right. And as we approach the altar, we should give our whole body. And when the body's right, what comes out of the mouth matches the heart, and God finds it acceptable. Lip service doesn't do anything for you. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Not what God wants. He wants the heart to reflect what we say. And when we give our life as a life consecrated to God, we give an appropriate praise. In Revelation, it tells us that Christ has made us priests to His God and Father. So you and I are priests. Now, when you think about being a priest is going to ask, am I giving an appropriate sacrifice? And in fact, when you look in the Old Testament system, God was very specific in what He wanted in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. He said, this is how I want you to dress. This is what I want you to do. These are the steps that you take every time you come in to give a sacrifice. This is the type of sacrifice that I want. These are the days that I want it. He wasn't nonchalant. He said, this is how I want you to praise me. It's no different in Christianity. God says, I want all of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. He doesn't want our crumbs. He doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want lip service. He wants our whole life. And when we give God our whole life, we encounter the wonderfulness of following Jesus. And when we follow Christ, out of our mouth comes appropriate praise. Continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So you may say, well, how do I do that? I may say the wrong thing. I might do the wrong thing. Well, I'll give you the answer to that, and it's the words of Christ in John 15, verse 4. In John 15, 4, Jesus said this, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Well, if I want to give an appropriate sacrifice and you want to give an appropriate sacrifice and you want to say the appropriate thing, it's not too complicated. We just abide in Jesus. We abide in Christ. We abide in Christ when we read His Word on a regular basis. We abide in Christ when we seek His will in prayer. We abide in Christ as we come together collectively and we worship on a regular basis as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We abide in Him. And the Bible says that if we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. And part of that fruit is praising Him in His holy name. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father, I just pray, Lord, that we might offer to Your altar an appropriate sacrifice. I pray, Lord, that we might consecrate ourselves to You, that we might set our whole life apart, not just an hour on a Sunday, but that daily we might look to You, that we might do as Paul did and die daily. I pray, Lord, that people might recognize that in us, that they might see that we are dedicated to You, that we're set apart, that we've committed our life to You, that we're not a casual believer. I pray, Lord, that You might use us in Your service. In Jesus' name, amen.